And good morning, everyone. I'd like to thank God for this beautiful morning and this opportunity to meditate together, dive into His Word, and learn at His feet. So I count it a privilege. Thank you. So the topic for today is, what's your street cred? And this is something that's been in my heart as we look at the world around us, and the way the world is being positioned, the way the world is progressing in its current state is revealing a lot of facts that are lying deep inside what the world is made of. And you can see clues of this in what is happening all around you. And especially in the value segment or on the street, as we call it in the market, right? You look at banks running out of an ability to prove themselves of any worth. It might be, it depends on how you look at it. It might be part of the larger financial system and how it is set up. It might be part of bad practices that don't have enough regulation. It might be a myriad of things, but inherently, the value system of this world periodically unveils itself to the masses and the public while they establish themselves as trustworthy, establish themselves as inherently integral to your life. We historically see this unraveling of its system to expose what is inside and what is really deficit at its core. And I think we have the privilege of, as children of God, of seeing this happen again in this current economic climate, as many banks in different places are showing themselves for what's happening and what is intrinsic to that system. So this is nothing new. This is, I think we, as children of God, we should not be startled. We should not be fearful. And that's the whole point here. What are we building our street cred on? So that is a world system. World is building something in its corner. They have their value system. They have their belief system and their order in place. And we know where it's going to go ultimately. But this is more of a reckoning to what are we building on? What are you valuing your life based on? So I want to quickly take us through a few questions that are often asked of our life repeatedly. Anywhere you go, and the question is, who are you? What do you do? If people are angry with you, who do you think you are? If people like you, they say something good about you that you have done. And if they're really angry with you, what do you think of yourself? And so all these questions, since our, I think, younger days, are repeatedly asked. And they're asked in different avenues, different places, whether it's in the market, in the industry, in your workplace, in your family. Everybody is gauging you and making an impression for you. And this often goes to a point where we are always thinking about how are we seen outside? What is the impression that we have amongst our peers, amongst our colleagues, or amongst the world in which we operate? And this is often shaped, the perception of who we are is often shaped by what the market thinks about us, especially for those who are business owners or who are running industry. What the market thinks becomes very, very critical to who you are. And I want to quickly go through a few things that we often hone our reputation on the image we create. We hone it on how exemplary we appear in front of men. We are always looking for what is of higher value, what is going to stand out among the norm. And based on this, there is a storyline that is built. There is a track record that is shown. And I think for larger corporations, this often happens as a marketing activity. But each one of us is also being marketed in a way in this world. And this is basically how the world knows us. It is either through your family, your work, your education, your achievements, your successes, your failures, and also what you stood for. And I want to quickly shift gears to looking at what heaven also does in the same regard, just like the world looks at us in a certain way. Very interestingly, in the scriptures, we see oftentimes there's a reckoning with heaven's perception of people as well. And quite a reckoning point that we read about in the scriptures, the story about the sheep and the goats that Jesus talks about. And if you go to Matthew 25, you can read all about it. I think there are shorter and longer versions. But essentially what is happening is people are classified into two big segments and labels, sheep and goats. And what is said about the sheep and what they say about themselves is huge contrast with what the goats say about themselves and how they are then addressed by God. So I want to break it down very quickly like this. Of course, the goats go first, and they have a lot to say about themselves and their achievements that they think are valuable in heaven's eyes. So they are really talking about a lot that they have accomplished, that they are proud of having done in this world. Because if you look at the list of things they talk about, it is all the good stuff that people love and that people talk about. So it is really very well marketable material. They have done a lot of miracles in Jesus' name. Who doesn't like miracles? Someone does a miracle, I mean, it's big news. It's going to have a lot of impact in society. And they are really keyed to how the world sees them. And very sadly, they are reaching heaven's doors, or so to speak, the judgment of their souls. And they are really touting all the good stuff that the world thought of them, saw in them, and that they found really marketable in this life and in this world. Very interestingly and very unfortunately, at the end of this, God rejects them completely with a very chilling phrase. I think in Matthew 25, the goats are called cursed. The curse is really something associated with our fallen nature and sin itself. So God doesn't see them washed of their sin. Essentially, they still have the curse upon them, and they're not granted entry into heaven. And there are, of course, other passages where it talks about a similar judgment, especially in relationship to doing the will of God or doing one's own, where those who didn't do the will of God, they are addressed, and God is telling them, I do not know you. And again, a very, very chilling reckoning to not be known in heaven. And I want to give this as a paradigm for us. I want us to think about what is being said in heaven today about your life, about my life. And what is the reputation that is going to follow you when you stand before the throne, when we stand before God? What is going to be said of us? And that is not something that is going to happen all of a sudden. And I think that is also something that is happening already. So, and I want to draw a few examples from the scripture for that. The point is, today, as we live in this life, as we walk in this world, there are things that are forming as ideas, opinions, and judgments about who you are in heaven's eyes. It is not just only at the throne or only at the end. I want to quickly go to a few examples of that. If you see in Joseph's life, Joseph had a lot of trials, a lot of very terrible circumstances. But through all that, Joseph is called a goodly person and well-favored. Very interesting to call someone who's having a miserable life goodly and well-favored. And I think this is, again, heaven's perspective that is revealed in the scriptures. This is in Genesis 39. And let's go quickly through a few. In the well-favored or highly favored category, there is Mary also, as the angel comes to her and salutes her. The angel says, "Thou art highly favored, thou that are highly favored, and the Lord is with thee." So the angel also has an opinion and a reputation that Mary is highly favored. Now, is this favor visible to the outside world? Is she some great queen? Or I don't know. Sometimes the reputation that we have with heaven may not be really revealed or mirrored by the world around us. And definitely for a character like Joseph, he is not really going through much of a favor in men's eyes. But the scripture and God's word calls him well-favored. Another interesting perception of a man is with Daniel. Daniel is called, and the reference is Daniel 9, Daniel 10, and the angel speaks to him. He is called as greatly beloved, for thou art greatly beloved. And here is a slave. He is in a foreign country. He is being put through the whims of a king that is totally alien to his culture, his civilization, his language, his people, and especially his God. He's in a strange land as a slave, obeying strange masters and a strange king with completely topsy-turvy belief system from the God of heaven that he is worshiping. And here, in this, it is not a happy circumstance to be a slave. And I think some people who read into history, there's a lot of brutality there. There is a lot of pain. There are a lot of circumstances that go with that. But in that time and circumstance, I want you to understand, it is from the world's point of view, it looks like, oh, these are slaves. You know, their lives are ruined. They are just now It's almost like animals in a strange land. But within this circumstance, heaven's perception is that Daniel is greatly beloved. And this repeats through chapters 9 and 10 as well. So I want you to see this contrast. How you are in the world, or how a person is in the world, their circumstance, their situation, is not reflective of how they are in their standing towards God and in their journey in faith. So many of these people may be humble, simple, or in the world says they may look cursed. This guy is always falling into the worst circumstance, or he's a slave in a strange land. But heaven thinks very differently of many of these people. And you can look at many more examples. I just put out a few, but this contrast is seen throughout the scriptures. Now, interestingly, there is always this contrast that gets carried over into the future of this world and the future of these people. So I want us to go from thinking about us today, thinking about what is happening in our world, in our life, and how we are seen in this world versus how heaven sees us today. I want us to quickly take a travel into the world of tomorrow and the world that we are preparing for and being prepared for and what that looks like. So I think one of the core tenets of CBMC is that we are building God's kingdom. And the kingdom of God is the future of God's children and also the future of this planet. It is inevitable, whether people like it or not. This is the future that is going to happen. And we are merely preparing first the body of Christ and then reaching out into the marketplace and the world for this future kingdom. So in this future, what does this value of a person and the worth of a person and their reputation, the reason the title is Street Cred, is what people think of you is kind of your street cred. It is what comes first top of mind when they think of you. So let's quickly go through a few standards and a few ideas about this future state. So the nature of the street matters. When you say street cred, the nature of the street matters a lot. So in the Eastern markets, there are different markets. It might be trading flows for companies. It might be commodities. There are different kinds of markets. But the nature of the market is often defined by one, what the market values, the culture of the market, what it likes, what it does not like. And you find, so let's say Dalal Street is what India likes to call as the street when we talk about market projections or valuations and performances for businesses and companies in the West. In the news says, oh, this is what the street looks like, or what the street says. It is often Wall Street, New York, where the trading happens. And all of these systems and all of these places have their own value system, their own culture, their own practices. And part of this that I think makes sense for each one of us, I want to boil it down to two things. One is, there is a projection. There is often, a projection can also be called a goal setting, where every company that is traded on the street has a forecasting that they do and a commitment that they make to the street, so that a certain expectation can be made when they are traded for value. So a 5% growth might be one company's projection. Another company might say, I want this X jump in stock value. That's typically for very high growth startups when they want to multiply in investments or confidence in the market. And so there's a nature of the market that is one projection or forecasting or commitment. And this projection happens early in the year or early in the game, and that is something they will be held accountable to or held to when the day of reckoning comes. And what is the day of reckoning? So for companies and for businesses, it is often the earnings call when they step in front of the public or have a market reading of their performance either over the last quarter or over the last year, if it is to shareholders in an annual ceremony. So there are different avenues for this, but typically there is a day of reckoning where the performance that is in the recent past is gauged and measured and openly declared. It is not something that is quiet or silent. It is, I think, by mandate and rule of law in most countries, and the performance of traded companies have to be openly declared. And this is kind of the day of reckoning that the street has. So the two things the street has, I think, that are valuable for us in today's meditation is we have the projection and then the performance. Now, I want you to think about your life. What is the projection that you have? What is the valuation that you get in your performance, in the day of performance? And I want to quickly digress. I know we have very little time, but I want to quickly digress to the whole point of the street. Now, heaven is also a street. And all of us know, since our early days in faith or as people growing up reading God's word, heaven has streets. It's very clear. In the book of Revelation, if you go to chapter 21, the street of the city was pure gold. This is very interesting because the whole standard of this world, gold is not on the street, dust is on the street. So everything that has value has to be more than dust. This is the baseline for this world. So whether you're trading nickel, titanium, or iron, or potatoes, or onions, or building companies that do this or that in this world, everything is worth more than dust. Interestingly, dust is what humans are made of. So you're literally trying to prove your worth above what you're made of. And that is the value system of this world. But in heaven's standard, the street is not dust. The street itself is gold. And gold is the highest standard for this world. And people who know economic history, familiar with the gold standard, and are interested in how this world is going with you know, geopolitics and all that, you've been following gold. You've been looking at the markets on gold as well. And in this world's eyes, gold is the highest standard that you can deliver, you can be worth. And I think this goes with our culture and our understanding very easily. Not much to explain there. But in heaven, gold is at the very baseline. It is where dust is in this world. So what is worth more than gold? I want to quickly turn to Isaiah 13. In Isaiah 13, This is actually talking about the day of reckoning. In verses 10 onwards, it talks about the stars of heaven and the constellations, therefore, shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his goings forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. So all this is the day of the Lord, and this is kind of the day of reckoning that leads up to the judgment. And in this prologue, God says, I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. And then it continues in the narrative, therefore I will shake the heavens and the earth shall be removed out of a place. So within all of this turmoil and this the shaking up of the whole order of creation, God says he will make a man more precious than fine gold. This resonates very well in the New Testament, in 1 Peter 1:7, where God says the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And I want to connect this with another prophecy, which is showing how God sees this whole world and all the nations. You'll be familiar with Isaiah 40, where God says, behold, the nations are as a drop of the bucket and are counted as the small dust of the balance. So, very interestingly, the nations are still seen as dust, but God is starting to make men who are worth more than gold. And during that, God is also giving the nations to this people. So in Isaiah 41, you see this, who raised up the righteous man from the east, called him to his foot, gave the nations before him. And you see this in multiple places. You also see in Revelations where the people of God, the church and the children of God, they rule with a rod of iron, very similar to Jesus, and he's giving his reign and sharing his reign with them. And I want to quickly conclude by wrapping up and saying, you who are faithful, God is building in you something worth more than gold. And I think that is my prayer, and that is my heartfelt desire, that each one of us be built to something worth more than gold. And when the earnings call comes in heaven, that is what will be called out. And let us be called good and faithful when that happens. And let us be pleasing in God's sight when that happens. And let it be a joyful day. And if we are not headed in that direction, it's a day of reckoning today, to turn away from all the standards of this world and to yield to God so that he will build us to something worth more than gold. So let us walk by faith, not by sight. And at the end, be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Let us close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, for your reminder of the day of reckoning, the day in which everything will find its true worth, Lord, whether it be dust or whether it be more than gold. And we pray that each one of us here will be found standing before you with joy, your praise, your glory, your honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.